Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is a gospel lesson read earlier, especially Jesus' words to the righteous about feeding and clothing and giving him drink. So a Sunday school teacher was giving a lesson on sharing. She called on Tommy and said, okay, let's say you have a big apple and a little apple, and you're told to share it with your brother. Would you want to share it? Would you share it with your brother? And Tommy thought about it for a moment. Do you mean my big brother? Oh, I did it wrong again. You have a big apple and a little apple. Which one would you give to your brother? And he thought for a moment. Do you mean my big brother or my little brother? See, sharing can be complicated. Almost as complicated as saying a joke at the beginning of the sermon. But the idea of sharing is something that God calls upon us to do. He calls for us to do it, and it's very clear. We've spent the last couple weeks talking about the generosity of God and the joy that is found in generosity. And our focus today is that there is joy in sharing the blessings that God has given us. And really, it's not just that there's joy in sharing. We are called to share. The expectation is for us to share. And it's very clear from the words of our Lord as he tells about the judgment that comes. And so we're going to look at those words, but we're going to focus on the words that are spoken to the righteous and what he says to them. And it's striking that as Jesus speaks to them about what they have done, they're shocked and amazed. And this helps us understand, or really helps us to understand what sharing is about and where it truly comes from. And so we're going to go over these words, but we're going to work backwards. Again, as I said, Jesus comes on the final day, separates the sheep from the goats. And he speaks to the sheep on the right, and he commends them for the fact that they have shared with him drink, they have shared with him clothing, they have shared with him food. But they look, hear that, and they say, when did we do this? Well, Jesus, after speaks to them back, saying, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Part of their confusion is they didn't realize that the works they were doing for their neighbor were really for the Lord. And it's easy to get so focused on this life that we don't think about what's going on beyond it. And what Jesus is telling the righteous is that as you lived out your faith, what you were doing was not just for your neighbor, and it's good that you did it for the neighbor, but whenever you did it for me. My name is honored and glorified. And that's what they failed to understand. And that's part of why they responded like they did. Because when we look at verse 37, after Jesus commends them, listen to what the righteous say. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you? When do we see you naked or clothed and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The righteous were shocked. They were shocked because they didn't realize what they did for one another, they were doing for the Lord. But I also think they were shocked because they didn't view themselves as ones who share well. Because by nature, are we? How good are you at sharing? Our nature kind of goes against that. You want any example of sharing and the difficulty by nature is give a child a toy and then try to take it back. Or better, put two children in one room with one toy. How well does that work? But by nature, we don't want to share. It goes against our nature, right? And so when we hear our Lord speak about how we are to give and how we are to share, are we not reminded of our failure? And so those righteous, which we will be one day, when we hear Jesus saying, you fed me, you clothed me, you gave me drink, are saying, that doesn't sound like me. Because what do we remember most? Our failure doing that. We remember where we didn't do what we are supposed to. And this is really a challenge, because it is a challenge to share. Think about your childhood. Were you a good person to share with your friends and family? I think about my brother Tom and I. We weren't always good about that. There were certain things that I tried to keep from him, and certain things that he tried to keep from me, and certain things we absolutely fought over. We were not always good at sharing. And I don't think as adults, we get that much better. We try. We know we are. But there's some barriers we got to overcome, right? If we're going to give and we're going to share with others, the first thing we need to do is recognize the need of others. And how many times in life are we so focused on our need or so overwhelmed with what's going on in our life, we really honestly fail to see what's happening all around us? How can we share with someone who is in need if we don't see their need, if we're so focused on our need? And even when we do see the need, we have the best of intentions, but do you always follow through? How many times have you thought, well, I need to do this, but you never get around to doing it, right? There's so many things that take center stage in our life, so many things that pop up that gain what we see as important. And also to share or to give, we have to set aside our own desires, our time, our thoughts. You see, the real problem is our sinful nature turns us inward. By nature, we're going to focus on ourselves and our need. So it's no wonder that when the righteous stand before the Lord and they hear what they have been commended for, they wonder, when did we do that? And yet, the Lord still says it. His words are true to you. And these are words that will be spoken to you as a child of God on Judgment Day. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. But you're not going to be able to say it and recognize it because of your own doing. There's a promise here. God will bring this out within you. Yet God is with you throughout your life in bringing this out and enabling you to do this. But I want to focus on one aspect of this that I think is really important in this list. Did you notice something missing from the list? Weren't there times when the righteous didn't give him food, didn't give him drink, didn't share? I'm sure you can think of times when you didn't, right? But it's not part of the list. Why? Because it's been forgiven. It's been washed away. On Judgment Day, all that God will see is your good works. That's all that will be left. Because all who trust in him for their righteousness, for their holiness, for their salvation, all their sins are washed away. Every sin is covered. There's no sin to list because it's been washed away in the blood of Christ. The Lord remembers them no more. And all he sees is the good works that he brings out from you. Works that are tied not only to your neighbor, but to him as well. The good works that he brings out for others, but are done to his honor and to his glory. And the reason for this, and the reason goes back to the very first words that our Lord spoke when he separates the sheep from the goat. Again, go back to the text. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In these words of Jesus to the sheep, we are reminded of the very nature of God. God is a giving and sharing God. Upon his return, what does he highlight? He says, "You who are blessed by my Father, you of all who have already received from my Father, the great and gracious giving God, inherit the kingdom already prepared for you." That this is my intention from the very beginning, to be a giving, loving God to you. And upon his coming, what does he do? He gives. That's simply God's nature. When he comes, he gives. This text is a wonderful text for the first Sunday of Advent because it is a time and period in the church year in which we get ready for the coming of Christ, the first coming, right? But we do so with an eye toward a second coming. But whatever coming we look at, God comes to give. It began all the way from the beginning of creation. God said, "Adam and Eve, where in a garden?" He gave to them. In his first coming, Christ came. Why? To give. We see it in his ministry. To those who were hungry, he fed. He gave wine at a wedding for a celebration. To those who were sinners, he gave forgiveness. And when he came to the cross, he gave up his life. It's the nature of our Lord to give, to give, to give. That's what he does. He gives. And he hasn't stopped giving, because not only did he give up his life, but he took it back up and he rose from the dead so that he could be our living, risen Lord, so that he could continue to come to us and continue to give. There's no better example than what we just saw. Ella did nothing to deserve what happened today. She had to be brought up, the sponsors had to speak on her behalf, and yet, what did she receive? The gift of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness that Christ earned on the cross. She received Christ himself as he united himself to her. When God comes, he gives. He gives out of his love and out of his grace. And he gave to Ella a new nature. And what I really enjoy about baptismal days is not just the joy of doing that. That's really exciting. But the reminder that it is for all of us of our own baptism. That the Lord has come to you in your baptism, and everything he gave to Ella, he has already given to you. He's given to you from the cross forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he's given himself to you, united himself to you, and given you a new nature. A nature that no longer looks solely at yourself, but looks outward. And looks outward toward God and looks outward toward your neighbor. This is why the righteous can indeed be commended for their giving, because God has given us a nature to do that very thing. With the new nature that God has given you, you can go forth and live out your life of faith. To give to your family, to your friends, to share with them love, peace, and whatever God has blessed you with. And you do it not because you have to, not because you must, not to earn God's favor, but that's who you are now as a child of God. You are one who belongs to him. You have a new nature. And we know that we'll never do it perfectly, but we always return to the font. We return to the cross. We return to his word. And remind ourselves of the forgiveness that is ours. We are forgiven and loved. And then we move forward. It's in our nature now, because God has given us a new nature to love him and to love our neighbor. And this is ultimately where the joy is found. There is joy in sharing. There is joy in sharing because there is joy in receiving from God. Having received from God, we are now able in joyful ways to share with others. And this is a joy we have not only now, but eternally. That God continues to give and will continue to give his love, his peace, and his joy for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.